welcome to another episode of the City Rev Life podcast. I'm here with my man, Darren Bennett, the man, the myth, the legend, the reverend, the chaplain, the author, the singer. Yeah. He's a singer.
A little something.
Rapper? Do you do some rapping? You know, spoken word, anything like that?
Some spoken word, you know, a little flowetry, poetry. I drop bars during my sermons every once in a while.
Every now and then?
Every now and again.
How about dancing? You do some break dancing?
Yeah, you know, I am Mr. Boogie with the beard.
All right. So, I mean, what can he not do? We might find out today. No, I know this is going to be awesome. This is a series called Hot Takes.
Oh, boy.
So, Darren, here's what's going to happen. I hold in my hand this envelope. It has a question. I don't know what the question is. You don't know what the question is, but we're going to answer it right here, right now on the City Rev Life podcast. Here we go. Whoa. All right. Why did Jesus have to die? Rest of the question is, he sacrifices himself to himself for rules he made to resolve issues he decided. How is it a sacrifice if he knew he would return? Darren? All right. Whoa, they're throwing us in the deep end. Yes. In the deep end. Okay. Oh, so let me just break this down. Why did Jesus have to die? That's the central question. But right. The idea is, okay, he's God. Mm-hmm. He's sacrificing himself, but it's a sacrifice to God. Mm-hmm. Okay. He made the rules, the law. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he is now deciding to resolve it through his own death. And then if he knew he would return, Is it a sacrifice?
Yeah. Okay, so that's good. That's a
lot of stuff there.
All right, so I'm going to take a stab at it.
Just jump in, man. Jump in. We'll wander around here.
Everything that God does. So theologically, we've got to answer this from the framework of God's glory.
Okay, yes, I like it.
So everything from beginning to end, eternity past, all points back to God's glory. God was in heaven with Jesus experiencing true joy, like the essence of love was happening
in the Trinity.
In the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the essence of that absolute satisfying, all delightful love that Jesus and the Father were experiencing together in eternity past. The most selfless thing that God, Jesus, and the essence, which is the Holy Spirit, could do is say, you know what? Let's invite humans into this space.
Okay. It's good.
Let's invite them in. So number one, they weren't vying for affection. They didn't need us.
Yes.
They Jesus wasn't laying on a therapy couch, God, you know, patting him on the head saying, you know, hey, I'm going to send you to make some friends. No, they invite us into this space. They've already, from eternity past, essentially laid out the schematic, the plan that Jesus Christ would indeed be glorified. How though? He would be glorified by sacrificing himself, that we would ultimately see him and savor him as Messiah. Now, because God understands that Jesus Christ is the ultimate essence of our joy, in order for us to have our joy fulfilled or consummated, there has to be some type of sacrifice. There has to be some type of satisfying vessel, or there has to be some agent. Christ would be that agent. If you've ever had a steak, right? If
go on.
A ribeye.
Okay.
Let's say at Ruth Chris, right? You're eating that steak with someone you enjoy. Mm-hmm. However, if you keep that steak to yourself, like as you're biting into it and you eat it and you don't say anything about it, it's almost selfish.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you bite into that steak and you this is really, like when you say that,
yeah,
you're consummating the moment with that. You're actually inviting that person into that joy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
When you're at a stadium watching a football game and your favorite team scores.
The Dolphins. Yeah.
Okay. I'm praying for you. When we cheer for our favorite team, together you see the unity and this whole essence of energy. Everyone is joyful and we're joyful. People that you don't even know, you may even hug, like, bro, can you just, like, you don't even know that person. But because you're literally praising the player, you're inviting someone else into that space of joy, someone who you don't even know. You're praising the steak. You're inviting someone into that joy. What we do on the heels of Jesus sacrificing himself for us is give him praise.
Yes.
And then in doing that, he invites us into ultimate joy.
Yeah, yeah.
So the sacrifice isn't selfish. He's not a egomaniac to say, I just want it all. No, the glory that God gets from the sacrifice, having, yes, rigged it, so to speak, for his glory, is ultimately for our joy and our good.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
I know. I like where you're starting this conversation.
Try to tease it out practically.
No. I like this. I like starting this with the idea of God's glory. And I think that's the right spot to start. And I think, like, let's first rest in that for a second. One discussion around God's glory is with the Westminster Catechism. John Piper riffs on this too, where he talks about the chief end of man is glorify God
and enjoy him
forever. Or by joy him forever, however Piper does it.
Right.
But he also talks about the chief end of God is to glorify himself.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's like, wait a minute, time out. That sounds like a megalomaniac. Mm-hmm. Why is it right for God to be completely about glorifying himself? And I think let's square up to that first. That's critical, because if you're all about yourself, Darren, or I'm all about myself, you'd say, Roby, you're not the center of the universe. Right. Like, everything doesn't revolve around you. But when we're talking about God, the whole universe does revolve around him. He is actually the center of the universe. So the problem with a human being about their glory is that they're trying to be like God. God has to be about his glory, or he's not God. Right. So God logically has to be about his glory. That's not him being self-centered. That's not him being egomaniac. That's just the way it is. So it starts with God being about his glory. What's shocking is that he who is centered around his glory, like the rest of the universe, would then be glorified by such a humiliating, self-sacrificing act. That's what's so shocking. I mean, the physical pain was real. The emotional, relational pain was real.
He would literally bankrupt himself to become a man.
Yeah.
God in all of his glory and all of his splendor sitting on high comes to the earth.
Yeah.
And literally, the Bible says he was of no appearance, like a man of sorrows. He wasn't even like a Brad Pitt, like, you know, these portraits of Jesus. Like, he wasn't even like easy on the eyes, so to speak. And yet he walks in his humility.
Yeah.
And keep going.
You're right. No, yeah. I mean, think about just even Jesus being the universe maker, becoming a baby that can't burp himself. Like, the powerlessness of that.
Born in a manger.
Yeah.
Born in humane circumstances.
Yeah. It being
unsanitary.
Yes. It was humiliating in every regard. And then even in his passion, a holistic suffering. So relationally, he's abandoned, mocked, he's falsely accused. So he's lied about. He's unjust. He's physically tortured to the extreme. You know, the cross, it's where we get the word excruciating from.
I mean, the most brutal ways you could die in that context.
Yeah, they figured out a way to make it slow. Yeah. That was as painful as they could come up with at the time. And it's not like history didn't have other painful ways to die.
Right,
I mean, like, the Assyrians and Babylonians had been really creative. The Romans are like, we can do one better. We got something called crucifixion. Okay, so physically agonizing. But the worst of it was the spiritual. It was the ripping apart of the Godhead in that the Father...
my God, why have you forsaken?
Exactly. So the Father abandons the Son. So a couple pieces in here. Okay, so...
But then why?
So why? So let's get to the why. But is it a sacrifice? Definitely a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Even though he knew that he would come back to life, it's still, he walked through that in a way that we don't have to. But the why is ultimately for his glory, which is where you started.
And our good.
So what is our good? So let's walk it out. Why then did he pick a death and a sacrifice? Why is that the way that brings glory to him? And I think some of it has to do with the pending problem of our sin. Like, we have, our sin has to be dealt with. So I think about, I think it was Tim Keller, I heard this illustration first. If I go over to your house for dinner, and as I leave, I back over your mailbox, just annihilate your mailbox, and I say, oh, Darren, I'm so sorry, man, I ran over your mailbox. And if you say, don't worry about it, I forgive you. And I say, no, let me pay you. How much was this mailbox? You say, no, I'm not, you don't have to pay it. It's not like that just magically disappears.
Right.
It's not like the cost of my mistake evaporates because you forgave it.
Right.
Someone has to pay for it.
Yeah.
And so Jesus, why did he die? Why did he have to die? For God to remain a just God, there had to be a payment for sin.
Yeah.
And so in his brilliance, in his glory, he is then absorbing the cost on himself through his death.
By creating a system which is the law, which would then become a springboard for us or a tutor to need that actual sacrifice.
Yes.
So the law was instituted so that the things that the Pharisees and the Jewish culture tried to do or tried to uphold, which they could not uphold, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to fulfill that.
Yes.
He doesn't abolish it, but he does for us what we could not do for ourselves.
Yes.
And so again, it creates an occasion for him to be that sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. Like no more pigeons, no more chickens. Like they're bringing all these little animals to the altar. And it's like, no, I'm coming to the altar.
Yeah.
I'm being for you what you cannot be for yourself. I am being perfection personified so that you do not have to be perfect. And so, yeah, the issue is that you, me, were born into sin, shaped with iniquity. It almost speaks to the issue of theodicy.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
Like, so why would a good God allow bad things, right? And so it's like, well, the way I answer that question is everything that God made is good. The Bible says that it's good. You go back to Genesis account. Then he made you and I, and he said, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as it falls into the hands of man, everything that God made good has the proclivity to go bad.
Mm-hmm.
So he deals with the issue of the fall, the sin, right? And then he pays the price for that so that you and I can live.
Yes.
So the ultimate easy answer to the why is so that we can live.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can be saved. If he didn't die and rise, then we have no salvation. So, all right.
I hope that was helpful, my gosh.
Let's see. Oh, man. Hey, it's not our fault. We didn't pick the question.
It's
right?
Real, though.
It's their fault. Okay. Well, why did Jesus have to die? He sacrifices himself to himself for rules he made.
The law. So we dealt with that.
To resolve issues he decided. How is it a sacrifice if he knew that he would return? And I think that just because there is a resurrection on the other side, that doesn't negate the pain of walking through that. And we see that over and over in our own lives.
Yeah.
You know, it says in Hebrews, isn't it 12? He says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and to be seated at the right hand of God. And so in the same way, we walk through the suffering that we have before us. It is pain just because, and we have hope that we will have the same trajectory as Christ, that everything will work together for good. There will be a redemption, a resurrection on the other side, but that doesn't mean that it's not painful to get through. You know, that doesn't mean that it's not a sacrifice to walk through.
Yeah.
And I think that actually strengthens us to walk through the sacrifices that he calls us to walk through.
And isn't there something so beautiful about that phrase, for the joy set before him?
Mm.
Who was that joy? What was he daydreaming about when he was on that cross?
Mm.
The fact that he's getting ready to purchase a bride for himself.
Mm.
That's us. That's you. You are the joy that was set before the Lord. You are exactly what he was thinking about. You are exactly what was on his mind when he went through that most excruciating, brutal, tragic moment, because he knew that when he would resurrect himself, he would purchase for himself, by way of his blood, his sacrifice, the cleansing of your sins, a bride fit for the groom.
I love that, man. I love that. I think about how it says in Acts, it says, he looks at the religious leaders, Peter, and says, you killed the author of life. The author of life had to die so that we could live, you know? And I think it had to be the author of life. Because if Jesus, he, as you were talking about the nature of the Trinity, Jesus is the pre-existent Son of God, but he became fully human. And so if it was just one person that was sinless, one human dying for another human, it would be a one-for-one payment. One human could die for another human, but it was the God-man. It was God in the flesh so that he could die for all of us.
Yeah.
And so it had to be God. He's the only one that could be the deliverer, only one that could be the Messiah.
Yeah.
So, I think we got through that.
That was heavy though, bro. I hope it was helpful.
I hope that was helpful. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in to City Rev Life podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the City Rev Life podcast. Feel free to subscribe and leave a rate and review. We love it when you share with your friends on social media. So don't forget to tag us at cityrev.church. If you're interested in more resources, download our City Rev Church app and follow us on social media. Have a great day.